I find nothing more precious than a baby's laugh. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I find nothing more precious than a baby's laugh. Now, I have a feeling, even though I'm surrounded by women today, that none of you have ever heard a baby laugh. You have heard a baby giggle. You have heard a baby twitter. You have heard a baby be happy, coo, but you never heard them laugh. And the reason that you never heard them laugh is because you didn't expect them to laugh. You expected them to do what you think babies do. And you think that babies just are emotionless, intelligentless, expressionless beings who just lie there and go, and you haven't the vaguest idea of how intelligent they are. I think among the people on the face of the earth, the babies are the most intelligent. The babies are completely uninhibited. The babies are completely unlimited in their knowledge and their everything. And you say, well, it doesn't seem like that. That's right. They haven't developed the equipment to express themselves. Now, when babies are babies, they have not developed their ability to talk yet. They have the ability to talk, but they haven't the mechanism to do it. They haven't the mechanism to walk, to run, to jump. They haven't the mechanism yet to get out and do things. All they do is chew and giggle and stuff like that. Now, if you ever took the time, and it takes time, to listen to a baby laugh, you would be utterly amazed, because their laugh is the most mature, comprehensive, intelligent thing you could ever imagine. A baby recognizes all these silly people looking down on it and saying goo 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 and talking baby talk, and the baby says, come on, I understand the most erudite language you could ever use. Why don't you use it with me, you know? And Rhonda, did you give your baby a music treatment when it was being born?
Yes.
So Rhonda clapped her tummy with a set of earphones, making sure it was the right and left earphone, you know. And then she played beautiful classical music to the baby, and a lot of rock and roll and jazz, too. No, just classical. Oh, then you were wise. And her baby had a problem. Her baby was born, and he didn't have the ability to express himself yet. But her baby was born with absolute brilliance. And Rhonda was saying, I hope, you know. And now she's learned that that's not an acceptable word. But Rhonda has been seeing every moment. She says, it's okay for you to speak up in your science class and tell them that you know these formulas and that you know how they're used and you know what the purpose of them is and all those things. And so he began speaking up, and the teacher says, you know it all, what are you doing, you know it all. And then the teacher realized, hey, shut up. That kid does know it all. And you don't holler at a kid like that. You say, wow. And you say, Anthony, come up here and help me teach the class. And essentially, that's the point. But you see, he has the genius in him. Unfortunately, Rhonda only played the chemical formula music to him, so that he opened up the chemical formula. She should have really played independent wealth music to him, you know. And but that's there too. He just hasn't bothered with that yet, because his mother takes care of those incidental details like that, you know. But if you've ever listened to a baby laugh, really laugh, a baby who is not aping the people around it, it will have that most contented chuckle, that most contented feeling about it. Every single person who looks at a child who knows how to laugh feels absolute at one minute right away. Whenever an adult looks at a child who knows how to laugh, that child just inspires confidence and love and picking upness, you know, and that mm-hmm. other sort of good stuff. Really, we don't realize how much children do know. And by the things that we tell them, wait till later to know, to ask these questions, or you're not ready to know that sort of information, you're not ready for this. We don't realize that from each basket of information we give to the kids, there's maybe about two or three items that they're actually interested in. The rest of it, they just set aside for later. So what we do is just give them whatever they ask and more, and let them set it aside. We have already implanted it, and let them take whatever they're interested in and ready for. And part of that is the real laugh. The laugh of saying, I know the Einsteinian theories. I know E equals MC squared. But I know another one which is even greater than that. It's how do you work with, what did he say? E equals MC squared. What is E? Energy equals mass times distance, space. Yeah. So you're dealing with those things. Now, what is this young infant going to tell the world eventually? Is there mass? Is there time? Is there space? No. It will tell you all is one. And he can tell you that right away, but he doesn't have the vocabulary for that. And by the time he gets the vocabulary, he's been told that that's not true. And this is what we do to our kids. We teach them to forget the genius that they are. We teach them to forget all of the things that they know and that they know so well. Now, why do we do that? Because we have forgotten. We want to give every one of our children exactly the experiences that we had. And we say, they must have childhood experiences. They must. No, they mustn't. Each child must, if must is the word to use here, be given the opportunity to express whatever is in itself, whatever is on its heart, whatever dreams it has, whatever emotions it has. And you say, well, does that mean licentiousness, you know, sexiness and stuff like that? No, no, that has nothing to do with it. What is on a child's heart is not anything that can be judged. It is not anything that can be moralized about or thought right or wrong. It has no capacity for that. Whatever is on a child's heart is purity, integrity, truth, honor, love, joy, peace, all that good stuff. And we misinterpret it. We look at a dog checking out another dog's penis and we say, "Ick," you know, and we don't understand. They can tell the other dog's whole history and know whether that dog is sick or well, know whether that dog is friendly, know whether that dog is going to be someone they want to know or not. They're not interested in the sexual aspect of that. They work that where it should be worked, you know. And we forget that. We want to equate all things in what our equation is. If some man were to put his nose to the back of some lady, we would think, my goodness sakes, what a sick person, you know. And really, he's merely being a dog, you know, and checking the lady out to make sure that she's pure and perfect as he wants for a wife. And then he says, will you marry me? And she says, well, why do you want me to marry you? Because you're living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, and you are expressing your original purity and integrity. How'd you know that? Well, I smell these things. You know. I got a good smeller. And this is what animals do, and this is what children do. Have you ever seen a child offended by another child who had messed in his pants? No. They don't even smell it. They don't even care about it. It makes no difference to them. They're living in their world so purely, so perfectly, so wonderfully, that they're untouched by these other things. And you say, well, Herb, if you think that this is a great talk, I don't know. I find nothing more precious than a baby's laugh. You've certainly gone afield. No, I haven't. A baby's laugh is that knowingness of all things, and that's pretty beautiful. Think about that the next time you hear a baby laugh. Not giggle, not snicker, not ga ga goo goo, you know, but when you hear a baby really laugh, you know, and that knowingness, that awareness, and that beauty, it's quite something. Listen, and you'll be surprised with all the wonder and all the magic that comes up in life. Have a lovely evening and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.